This is the Perfectly Mentored Podcast with your host, Jason Portnoy.
When it comes to brands, though, building, I think, and I'm curious to hear your thought, I think one of the biggest mistakes that they make in the content that they produce and then eventually in the advertising they end up making with it is they want to be the hero on the story, in the story, versus making their customers the hero in the story. Are you seeing that too? And what's one of the easiest ways to overcome that?
Yep. So one of the best commercials of all time is actually by Purina. It's a cat searching around a house and ends up finding the food that it wants, which is the Purina. But the whole story, what we're watching is the cat itself. The cat is the hero, and the end goal happened to be the product itself. And it didn't feel like an ad whatsoever. It felt very natural that the cat wanted to eat Purina. The same concept applies to all content. If you make it about the person, about the customer, about the storyline, people will get emotionally attached. They're not going to get emotionally attached to Purina, the bag, right? The bag of food. But they will get attached to the brand if they get emotionally attached to the cat. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so making content or as a brand about the person, about the influencer, about the storyline, about that, et cetera, rather than, I'll give you a quick example. Target donated $1 million to a disaster. They do this often. They then spent $108 million promoting the $1 million check that they donated. Mm-hmm. You see how many problems there are in that one sentence of what they could have done with that money, what they could have done, et cetera.
Yep.
If you would have did $100 million, think about how much actual press they would have got globally.
Or donated the $100 million and spent $1 million on advertising promoting the $108 million.
Exactly. You were talking about a global impact and people would have gone, it would have been talked about all over the planet for weeks instead of a one day about your $1 million check, whoop-de-doo, right? So I think people and brands need to really think about making it much more about what they are, what their brand is, and making the influencer, the story, the people, the customers, the actual thing that we get attached to. Because by default, if we get attached to them, we will like your brand more.
I think the reason why so many brands stay away from that is because it's actually hard, right? Like I run an advertising agency. I know you've done influencer marketing for so long. It's so hard to do that because it used to be just throw up 1 million ads on Facebook, get a 5X return, and then there you go, and you're marketing it that way. Now all of a sudden,
yeah, you're a genius then.
Yeah, you're a genius. And I had this interesting conversation with Gary and Gary Vaynerchuk, and he phrased it a little bit differently, which I actually liked, is that marketers actually became mathematicians, and now you actually have to go back to being a marketer and telling the story of your brand.
Right. Yep. The thing about it is, so many people were focused on 4X, 5X, 6X return rather than the actual marketing of it itself because they were looking for immediate returns. I've never done that. Like I spent $60 million influencers. I've told every single brand, I've turned down a lot of brands. I won't take your budget if you expect to spend $100K to get back $212,000 the next day. That's not what I do. I want to spend $100,000 so that tens of millions of people see your brand and by default, you will make millions of dollars, but I will not be able to show you that your 100K turned into 212 tomorrow. That's not what I do. That's not how influencer marketing works, et cetera. And people got obsessed with it. And I literally had to turn it down because they're like, well, we need a KPI. We need this. We need a CPA. I'm like, all your three letters are cool. I build brands and I take brands and I pour gasoline on them to make the fire bigger of a brand. And it's hard because too many, either the agency or the marketing executives at the brands think that they have to show their boss an exact KPI and a CPA and a CPM. And it's like they have to show exact math all the time. And instead of saying, hey, this influencer showed us Purina Cat, for example, they showed us got 1.9 million views. You don't exactly know how many people went and bought the product that day or the next day or the next week or the next month, but you know that 1.9 million humans just saw this rather than 84,000 and then you got 21,000 sales. And so ultimately, Gary's correct. The math, you do need the math part for proving to an agency or proving to a brand why they should keep spending with you. But I don't do that. I show eyeballs. I show a brand way more than KPIs and CPM rate. Like that's.
Yeah, look, I think, and I think the reason for it is most brands just don't know their numbers. They don't know what their back end, how they're going to monetize later, or they don't have the faith that their brand could actually deliver. And they want that immediate sale right now. And then they don't have faith that they could actually deliver something later on.
Yep. I think that brands need to do both. It's okay to spend 100K to get back 220. That's fine. But ultimately, if you want to actually build a brand, that's not brand building. That's direct sales.
Yep.
That is a sales channel. That is not a marketing channel, right? I want to see, and I only care about marketing channels because the sales channel part, you don't really need me. You can run a Facebook ad agency, your agency, et cetera, can get them the math. Okay, you spent 100,000, you did 412,000 sales, you netted 84,000, cool, let's spend it again. That's not a brand at all because it was transactional. Us to become emotionally attached is not due to transactions.
And eventually, I look, as someone who runs an agency and I deal with, and I hear the stories of you know, my team talking to clients and whatnot, of them saying, we need the numbers. Eventually you run out of transactions in the sense of acquiring customers. What are you doing to keep those customers happy? And that's your marketing later on. That's branding also. What are you doing that, you know, if rising costs of advertising, how are you going to offset that? That comes from actually having a brand.
So the customers have to become your ambassadors, whether they're actually posting on social or getting referrals for you or talking about you or being proud of you. They are your best bet. I always say it's much easier to get more money from someone that's already opened their wallet. When you try to go get a new customer that their wallet is closed and protected and you try to get that first $20, $50, $200 sale, it's very difficult. Someone's already spent 50 bucks with you. It's easy for them to spend 100 or 200. You already got their information, your address, your credit card. You've already shipped to them before, whatever your product is. Like, they already know that they like you. They trust you because you deliver to them. Getting more money from them, getting referrals from them is infinitely easier than trying to go get Jason to buy the first time. It's not even close. It's not even like a discussion. It's like, if Dan has spent 50 bucks with you, Jason has spent zero, you are much more likely to get me to spend hundreds of dollars than Jason to spend 50.
And if I can't, that says something about my service, my product, or my brand.
Exactly.
Let's talk personal brand for a second, because I put out content, not nearly as much as you, but I'm trying to catch up to you. But I'm putting out a lot of content now. One of the hardest things, and I teach this also, like not looking for things and just putting things out there and trying to see what works and testing and putting it out there and not getting caught up in vanity metrics. As someone who's putting out content and tells people not to, it's still one of the hardest things to do is like look at something and be like, huh, you know, like maybe if I posted this at a different time, maybe I should delete it. And I fight that urge also. I think when you were building a brand, I think the landscape kind of changed. You're still building it, but like, I think the landscape kind of changed. So what advice would you give, let's say me who's putting out content or someone who's thinking about starting to put out content, on how to build their brand now, aside from buying your book, which I highly recommend everyone goes buys your book and we'll link it in the show notes for you. But like, what advice do you have?
So the main thing is the consistency. If you're posting at least once a day, you're keeping that top of mind awareness. You're in people's faces, you're out there, you're interacting, people care. Making the content much more about the person watching you and less about you. People are almost always making content about themselves. A selfie, I just did this, I just did that. Let's say Dan and Jason are following that person. Why would we ever share that content? I'm never going to share your selfie. I'm never going to share when you got your new promotion or you got something. Blah, blah. That's fine sometimes. But ultimately, why would Dan and Jason ever share that content? It's not going to happen. Now, what if you taught us about something? What if you made us laugh? What if you showed us a news article? What if you showed us your take on something going on in the world or business or a niche or a hobby? That is shareable. Dan and Jason can now repost it. And all of a sudden, hundreds of thousands of people or millions of people see your content because you made something interesting for us rather than for yourself. Two, collaborations. Making content with other people will always, 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 always be the easiest and cheapest way, because it's free, to get you more followers. Because if Dan and Jason make content like we're doing right this second, and then Dan posts it, the audience that I have will likely like Jason because he's similar style. He has an agency, has a podcast, et cetera. My audience is much more inclined to want to follow him because we have similar type audiences and vice versa. Making content with other people, whether you're a chef, personal trainer, you teach basketball, you teach ballet, you're a gardener, you like animals, doesn't matter what you do, there are other people in your field to make content with or similar fields to make content with, and you guys will, by default, gain following from each other because you have similar type audiences. Same reason also on a physical level, when you see girls go to dinner and there's four girls at the dinner and they're making photos and videos with each other, they're going to gain following from that because someone likes that brunette, someone likes that blonde, someone likes this girl. They may not just follow that similar style of girl. Same thing happens with guys. Four guys go to the gym, they're all buff. Well, they're going to start to gain following from each other because they're all posting content. They have similar style audiences. So it doesn't have to just be the niche or hobby. It could be your work, it could be what you do, et cetera. The third thing is you have to be really aware of the fact that your followers have already drinking the Kool-Aid. They already clicked follow. You don't have to prove how cool you are. We're there. Now that we're there, if you want us to share your content, show us something, ask us something, teach us something, do something with us, and people will want to share your content.
So two things from there. I think one is people think their life is boring, right? Yes. Not everyone gets to go sit ringside at Jake Paul, and not everyone gets to meet the amount of people you have or live that life. That's entertaining. If you're just Joe, you know, and you're trying to make content, how do you balance that? Like, because then that leads to people overflexing and not being authentic anymore.
Correct. So for Joe in Alabama, here's the thing. What you think is boring looks like magic to us. So you might be a plumber or a roofer and you're like, who the hell cares about roofing? I've been doing roofing for 18 years. Dan and Jason watching your content, I literally couldn't do a roof if our life depended on it, right? I definitely couldn't fix the plumbing in my house if my life depended on it. I have no chance, right? You making basic content showing us, this is what you should do if your sink gets clogged. This is what you should do if your toilet gets clogged. This is what you should do if this happens. And then the roofer makes content. Hey, did you just go through a thunderstorm? This is what you should do. Oh, you want to protect yourself from the next thunderstorm? This is what you should do. Are you prone to hurricanes? This is what you should do for your roof. That looks like magic to Dan and Jason because we have no idea for our roofs. We have no idea for our sinks, et cetera. And so you might be in what's you think is a boring situation. It looks like magic to everyone else if you just break it down into a bunch of short form clips and teach us and show us.
Hey everyone, thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed that episode. Thank you for your attention. And if you made it this far, you're clearly somebody who wants to take their business to the next level. You want to get better. And I understand that being an entrepreneur sometimes can feel like a little bit of a lonely journey, which is why being part of a thriving community of like-minded people is just so important. It was super helpful in my own development as well. And as is the ability to instantly get answers to the questions you may have in order to grow and scale your business. It's for that reason why I launched a consulting coaching program called the Market Domination Method.